And now may my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Not so very long ago, there was an argument between two of our three daughters. It caused a rift, and we listened on the phone to both sides, seeing right on each, but very distressed for their pain. And although it was ostensibly about something very trivial, it was clear that the rift really came from remembered hurts and incidents in the past, from things we'd totally forgotten about. And I found myself wishing that they could simply wipe out those memories of believing that they were the one that always had to give way, for example, and start again. This made me very aware of the fact that we all carry burdens from our past and how enormously hard it is to let them go. Some of those burdens are even positive. For example, you might be seen as the brainy one of the family and spend your life trying to live up to it. Positive or negative in origin, they shape our personality, they follow us through life. And of course, for some people, there are really damaging experiences that cast a very long and deep shadow and are seriously harmful. And although some people may seek the help of a therapist to disentangle some of those things, most of us just muddle through life and live with them, carrying the expectations and the prejudices of childhood with us. The Old Testament reading today, which is not on our grapevine, is from Genesis. It's the account of Noah and the flood. It's a story found in different versions in other scriptures of the time, where the gods put an end to the human race and make a fresh start with human survivors. But the biblical account puts the emphasis on the recommitment of God to creation and to humankind, with a promise shown in the rainbow not to destroy humanity in that way again. The reading that we did hear, thank you Tish, it's quite a difficult reading to read. It's from the first letter of Peter, and it's got obscure references to the spirits in prison. You'll have to hop over to Wendon Zambo to hear an explanation of that, or ask Alan to send it to you, because he did a lot of work sorting it out, and I'm not going to tell you all about it. There are actually only three sentences here, and the long second sentence refers to the story of Noah, which is then linked to baptism. And it's with the baptism of Jesus that our gospel reading begins. Mark's account of Jesus in the wilderness is very short. We have none of the detail given by Matthew and Luke about the nature of the temptations, although it's clear that Jesus was driven by the Spirit into this time of testing immediately after the affirmation he received at his baptism. So let's start by thinking about baptism. In the context of my thoughts about the burdens we all carry, this has a new significance. Baptism, we are indeed promised a new start with God as our parent. Unlike even the best of human parents, God has no favourites. He offers to draw a line under all those preconceptions and hang-ups that we carry round with us. A line under the expectations of our parents, under the experiences of childhood and of our adult lives. And although baptism itself is a once-for-all event, for many of us, certainly for me, taking place rather early in life, we can every day claim the promise of a new start that it gives us. And we do this through repentance and turning again to God. We can draw a line and start again in a way that echoes the new start that God offered humanity through the flood. Now, some of you may remember this film better than I do, so I ask your forgiveness if I've misrepresented it. But when I think of repentance, I remember an image I saw in a film about a man trying to climb a cliff face with a huge sack on his back. I think he wore it as a penance for having killed someone. And I can't remember, and maybe when we chat afterwards, someone will put me right. I can't remember if he was persuaded to lay the sack down or if someone cut it off. But without it, he was able to climb faster and reach the top. And that's an image that always helps me to think of all the unnecessary burdens that we carry and how God liberates us from them. They may not be burdens from the past, they may be burdens just that we accumulate each day. After his own baptism, Jesus is driven into the wilderness, where he trusts in God his Father, where his trust in God his Father is sorely tested. From the other accounts, we read that he was tempted first to turn stone to bread, to create his own sustenance rather than relying on God. And that prompts us to ask ourselves where our source of strength comes from. He's then tempted to throw himself off the temple to see whether God will save him. Will he be safe if he risks everything? It's a subtle temptation, isn't it? If we call God Father, can we rely on him? Do we trust him with our very life, as well as in everyday matters? Again, Jesus points to the words of Scripture and back to God. Finally, in a temptation that I think is particularly relevant to those of us who would like to do good, he's offered the kingdoms of the world. Think how much he could do to help his people and people everywhere. This reminds me, perhaps rather irreverently, of the response that used to be given by contestants in the Miss World competition. I don't even know if they still hold Miss World competitions. But to prove that those lovely women had brains as well as beautiful bodies, they were asked what they hoped for, and the right answer tended to be world peace. Jesus is offered the kingdoms of the world. Think what he could do. Yet still he puts God first. He's not that sort of a saviour who will magically put right all the ills of the world. All his answers point back to God as the source of life and even as the source of our power to do good. The present time feels to many of us like a wilderness. It's certainly been a time when our lives have been stripped down to the essentials, walking a little for our health, shopping just for essentials, unable to see family and friends. In such a time, the temptation is to escape, to return to life as it was. In the current time and in this season of Lent, the Church challenges us to turn back to reliance on God. Jesus was tempted to abandon his divine vocation. What, I wonder, are the temptations for you and for me in this time of austerity? Is it just to get out of it as fast as possible? From the baptism of Jesus, through a very short account of his time in the wilderness, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus begins his public ministry after John was arrested, by proclaiming the good news of God. And what is that good news? It's that we can have a new start. What we cannot do in our own strength, God can do in us if we let him. He can cut the burdens from my back and give me a new start as his beloved child. This good news is hard to hold on to. We often fall back, we often doubt it. Hence our need to keep close to him through studying scripture, through private prayer, through joining in worship, especially through the sacrament of Holy Communion, even curtailed as it is, and through fellowship with each other. And I think all that's very well summed up, both in our collect and in our post-communion prayer today. So I'm just going to end with it, although you'll hear it again at the end of our service. Lord God, you have renewed us with the living bread from heaven. By it you nourish our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Teach us always to hunger for him who is the true and living bread, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds from out of your mouth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.